Lagos, good morning to you. Welcome to the last 1 hour of the show, Morning Crossfire. And I'm Sheriff Quadri. Always a pleasure to be here with you. Something came off my head right now and I just smiled. Okay, well, you know what? It's good to be here. It's Thursday, and every Thursday we do Health Thursday. This morning we're looking at antenatal care, the importance of this, the need to take this very seriously, and why you need to take this very seriously if you're expecting or you're pregnant. I'm talking about both men and women now, because men too are pregnant. Once your wife is pregnant, you are pregnant too. So we'll talk about all of these things. Please pay attention to the conversation we're about to have, because it's going to do us a whole lot of good. So UNICEF data that monitor the situation of children and women, updated in December of 2022, they said that globally, while 88% of pregnant women access antenatal care with a skilled health professional, at least one or only two in three, that's about 66%, receive at least four antenatal care visits. Very meager. Now, according to this data by UNICEF, in regions with the highest rates of maternal mortality, such as Western and Central Africa and in South Asia, even fewer women receive at least four antenatal care visits. That's about 53%, respectively. Now, stating further, the UNICEF data says the World Health Organization has updated its recommendations from a minimum of four antenatal care contacts to a minimum of eight contacts to reduce perinatal mortality and to improve women's experience of care. Now, we're going to delve into this care conversation a whole lot on the conversation this morning. But let me bring you a few more data. Out of the 14.77 trillion naira federal government's budget for 2022, only about 724.9 billion, that's 4%, was allocated to health. That also is a major contributor to access to healthcare, not just for the pregnant women alone, but healthcare generally in Nigeria. You can break down even further, you know, by saying you're looking at 298 naira monthly, 298 naira monthly, monthly new. Then you have 668 naira weekly. For what? Break that down further to a daily spending on health, you have 9 naira daily. This is obviously not enough for antenatal anti-malaria drugs. Let's say you fall ill now. What will 9 naira do for you? No, just tell me, what drug would 9 naira buy for you? So that's also another angle of our conversation about funding healthcare. But quickly, let me bring up my guest is a stakeholder in the health sector, and then he will be able to even shed more light. I have Dr. Bola Yusuf on the show this morning. Dr. Yusuf, morning to you, and thank you for joining me.
Good morning, and thank you for having me.
It's a pleasure to have you here. Dr. Yusuf is, of course, a medical director and chairman of Board of Trustees, ACE Initiatives, and NGO. And it's brilliant to have you here. First, let's start, because I know your organization work with pregnant women and all of that. Intervention, you put out intervention programs. We'll get to that in a moment. But let's talk about access to healthcare in Nigeria. Let's start from there.
Okay.
How would you describe that?
Well, access to healthcare is quite poor. And that for a number of factors.
Okay.
The first thing is even having availability of quality healthcare. Now, if you look at the number of hospitals or health care facilities in ratio to our population, it's quite poor, less than what is accepted by the WHO. But that's on one side. Poor funding of these facilities is another problem. But when we look at the population too, the health-seeking behavior is poor too. Now, some of them might be based on myths or some lack of information on the importance for these things. And you know, a lot of people seek alternatives to healthcare too. And like the general belief is that for alternatives to healthcare, you have to give it time. And sometimes you find that people suffer from diseases, morbidities that they could avoid because they just keep doing the wrong thing and not seeking the appropriate healthcare.
You know, this will lead me to my next question, which is looking at the rate of child mortality in Nigeria. Nigeria is one of the countries that presented a very high significant rate of child mortality. How can we connect this with the funding of the health sector?
Okay, yeah. So, we, like you said, the child mortality is quite high in Nigeria. And that's because the number of births that are being attended to by a skilled individual, not necessarily a doctor, a midwife, or a skilled healthcare personnel, is very low. So you have
people... Why is that?
Yeah, so like I said, first is the number of healthcare professionals available was not enough, let's say, 5-10 years ago. And we know what's happened in the last 5 years. It's dropped further. You find that the Western world is taking our doctors, our nurses, injuries, and they move to other sectors, not just the healthcare sector. So that's one. Number two is that, okay, let me give you an example. I was speaking with my grandmother a few years ago, and she said, while she was in their own time, when a woman is about to give birth, she just goes into the room. Every other person outside with the women in the community, and they come and say she's giving birth. Now, how come now we're saying so much about they need to come to the hospital and all that? And I asked her a question. What happens when she goes in and the baby dies? Most times they create a story around it. So they never focus on the right issue that, okay, it's because there was no skilled attendant to attend to them. Because most times, let me say this also, most times the pregnancy will go without problems. Let's say out of 100, you could have 80% of them, 85% of them go. Even labor will go smoothly without a problem. But the 15% that needs an intervention, if they don't have a skilled individual there, then they are deprived of that. And that leads to either the delayed time for the baby to actually come out, or baby comes and needs some form of resuscitation, and there's nothing to be done, and you then lose the babies in droves like that.
When it could have been avoided.
Exactly.
Completely.
Yes.
But let's talk about babies now and pregnancy. What should a lady, a woman, or a couple do the moment it's found that they are pregnant?
Yes. Okay. So, and that's what we're talking about.
That's right.
The care of a woman.
That's right.
And the baby from time of conception to time of delivery.
That's right.
Now, it's also believed that, we'll find out in my experience, if it's a first time woman, a primary gravida, like we call them, most times they come in early. Especially if they don't have anybody around to advise them. When they're coming for the second, they feel that, oh, I'm experienced. I can come at 4-6 months. But what is advisable, and that's the answer to your questions, as soon as you know you're pregnant, you should actually seek for a medical advice. You should see a doctor, a midwife, who could then advise you that even investigations we want to carry out. Because some people actually have pre-existing conditions before they got pregnant. And they didn't know because they never went to the hospital to have the same checked themselves checked. So it gives the doctor, the hospital, the clinic the opportunity to be able to assess and to diagnose those conditions and start to manage them.
Right. So how about a situation whereby, like you've said, they usually come and then they relax? How often should a pregnant lady visit the hospital?
Yeah, so there's something we call focused antenatal care.
Okay.
And that's majorly not just having them come and, because like I said, we don't have so much healthcare professionals on hospitals. If you want them to come every time, then the healthcare clinics, the clinics and hospitals become overwhelmed. So what we do is focused antenatal care should be at least between 4 to 8 visits.
Okay.
Yeah, initially we talk about 4, but most times we're talking about 8 antenatal care visits for generally for every pregnant woman.
Okay.
Then when
all through the period?
Yes, through the period.
Okay.
But when certain conditions are actually discovered, they might need to be seen more frequently. Like a woman who develops, either had high blood pressure before pregnancy or develops high blood pressure while she's pregnant, for better monitoring and follow-up, they might need to see them a bit more frequently than the others.
I want to talk to you some more about, because I've heard so many things. So if you speak with a first-timer, I don't know the name you call them, but I'm going to use first-timer.
Okay, yeah, that's fine.
A lot of people learn online. They really love, because they are first, and there's nobody to help them through anything. And sometimes most of them are very busy to want to go to the hospital or anything to check something up. Even if they visited the doctor before, the rest they will just read up online. And how safe is this though?
Okay, yeah. So sometimes in my clinic, I see a woman who is coming. The last time she came,
and they will even be arguing with the doctor, like, "Doctor, but this is what is on Google."
Yeah. Now, and it's not all bad.
Yeah.
Because one of the reasons why we advise antenatal care is for the health education. Now, some of the things they might read online, some actually would help. Some actually just scare them. If it scares them to come to see us, that's fine. But also, the reason why we give health education, because the husband and the mother, the pregnant mother, also help in monitoring that pregnancy. Because if the woman knows that, okay, my baby should kick this number of times every day, if she starts to notice a reduction in the frequency of kick, then she could call. Either call the doctor, call the hospital, or come down and say, this is what I've noticed. Or she's educated that you shouldn't see blood when you're pregnant. I'm not sure if you've heard, some people come and say that, I usually do my period with pregnancy. I'm like, no, it's not normal. So when they know that that is not normal, then they're able to come. But then the other side, which is what you're asking, is that because now they rely on what they see or what they've read. Or some people tell me, doctor, I've not been here in the last 2 months because I'm fine. And I have to explain to them, you don't come, we're not asking you to come because we think you're not fine. But the truth is that by attending the clinics and having the regular checks, if something is going wrong, we're able to detect early and help to prevent whatever complications my arise from that.
I want to talk to Lagos because my next question will probably take us into another, you know, realm of antenatal care entirely. But let's hear, you know, from Lagos. If they got a question for you, okay, we'll just take one or two calls, then we'll move into my next question. Lagos, you're very free to call in. 0700-993-993-993. And 01465-7190 for the ladies. If you can't call, you can send me messages, or WhatsApp on 0809-597-5805 on WhatsApp. Please make your message short and straight to the point so we can get to as many as possible. I've got Dr. Gbolahan Yusuf on the show this morning. We're talking antenatal, you know, care. Dr. Gbolahan, before we jump on the telephone, let me quickly chip in my own now. Talking about antenatal care, what are those risk factors that a pregnant mother can be exposed to during the time of conception?
Okay, yeah. So there are a few things we try to look out for. And the first thing is
Sorry to butt in. So I'm trying to make this as simple as possible for our people, because some people still don't believe that they need to attend antenatal care. They still get their care from God knows where, you know, and that's one of the major issues like you mentioned from the beginning. So what are those risk factors that maybe if people are aware of these risk factors, they would take, you know, antenatal care pretty serious?
Yeah, so so the first thing is, let's even look at blood pressure and diabetes. Now, the blood pressure, high blood pressures, we call it silent killers because you can have a high blood pressure and not know. Now, like I tell people, sometimes when you start to feel signs because of high blood pressure, like some people say, oh, I have high blood pressure, doctor, I know when it's high and I take my drug. So when you know when it's high, maybe the headache or the pain somewhere, it means the pressure is causing damage already. So a woman who has high blood pressure prior to pregnancy, who didn't know, and that is actually, so that's something that could make her even lose the pregnancy or even affect our health, would not know, and that's a risk factor we look out for. Another thing is low blood level. We call it anemia.
Okay.
So not everybody takes balanced diet. Not everybody, there's malnutrition. And because of what even the economic status right now, you have a lot of people cutting down even food.
For real?
So they're not taking adequately what they need. And a woman who has a growing baby inside of her, the baby needs all the building blocks to grow. So, and the baby will take, regardless of what the mother has or not. So you want to know if there's low blood level, and then also give drugs to actually supplement or to correct that. So I talked about diabetes too. Then also infections, sexually transmitted infections, urinary tract infections. In fact, you find some pregnant women, the only time they have to deal with urinary tract infections might be when they're pregnant. So those are things you want to look out for and treat. There are infections that, like, for example, syphilis. If we detect it early, like in the first trimester, that's the first 3 months, you can be treated and avoid issues with the baby when the baby is delivered. So that's some of the risk factors we try to look out for.
Impressive. So it's almost, it's looking like even when people want to get help, it's pretty hard for them to get help. In this day, like you've mentioned, we have shortage of manpower. We have shortage of even well-equipped facilities out there. So this could be a contributing factor to people not even seeking help as well. But there's something all healthcare practitioners that I've spoken with, there's something they always say. We have poor health-seeking behavior.
Yes.
How big is this? I mean, you are in this space. How huge is this health-seeking behavior?
Yeah, so I think actions, whatever you do is driven by thoughts or driven by perception. So I think one of the first things we look at is the perception of people when it comes to healthcare. Some don't come because they feel it's too expensive. And they might be correct because what the ability to pay and what they are asked to pay, there might be a mismatch. Some don't come because they feel that they can get it better, yeah, or they have an alternative to that healthcare. So I feel that if I mix this and this, I should be fine.
Hmm.
Now, the truth is that there are times where there are certain conditions that might not require any medical treatment. Yeah. And when they have that, because it comes with some symptoms, and feel I took a lot of water, I mixed this, and I was fine. And they feel that's the same treatment for every kind of ailment.
Hmm.
So I think, like I said, the major thing is actually the perception,
yeah,
about going to the hospital. That's one. Number two, those that even try to come, like I said earlier, the cost of healthcare. Then three, sometimes they've had experience where they feel that the healthcare in Nigeria has failed them,
yeah,
or failed someone they know.
Hmm.
You understand? And then, of course, rumors and what's been said. Like, if I tell you something, and I tell the next person, by the time we get to the 10th person, there are distortions of the truth.
Hmm.
And a lot of people just take that, and that's what they believe.
Hmm, indeed. Let's quickly step aside. We'll take this quick break. When we return from this quick break, I will speak some more on some of the things, interventions that non-governmental organizations have been trying to do. One of such is what we'll mention when we return after now. Okay, so Lagos, please stay with us. We'll be right back here on The Morning Crossfire, 99.3. Welcome back to Health Thursday on The Morning Crossfire here on Nigeria Info 99.3. I have Dr. Gbalawan Yusuf on the show, and we're talking about antenatal care. Dr. Gbalawan Yusuf is Executive Director of Access or Accessible Care for Everyone. ACE, or you call it ACE, yeah.
ACE, yeah. Mm. ACE Initiatives.
Yeah. That's all I want. Thank you for joining us again.
Yeah, thank
so
you.
I'm talking about medical outreaches that complement, you know, access to health and everything. And I know that ACE does this, ACE Initiative, you know, you guys do this a whole lot. Tell me, I know that you had one for pregnant women a couple of weeks back.
Yeah, yes, yes.
Mm, what was that about?
Yeah, so what we decided to do, like we've talked about access to healthcare,
yeah,
health-seeking behavior and all that, and we try to correct that by first, let's lower the bar, let's bring the pregnant women and the health facility together.
Mm.
And Accessible Care for Everyone Initiative with Ceylon Medical Center, I've been doing that for the past 9 years.
For the past 9 years?
For the past 9 years. So we have programs at least 3 times in a year. Mm. Early in the year, mid-year, and then towards the end of the year.
Yeah.
And in such programs, what we do is we bring them in, and then they get to speak with a doctor. So we have general health education.
Okay.
They're able to ask their questions. And most times, that's where we start to hear the myths that go on in the community.
Mm.
Then they have one-on-one consultation with doctors. They get to do a scan because we want to check the baby too. We give them, like what we've done in the last 2-3 years, they get 1 month supply of antenatal vitamins.
Oh.
Yeah, like I forgot to mention that malaria is a problem too in pregnancy. So we also give mosquito nets.
Oh, nice.
So we do that, and then with the hospital with which we partner with, they get to be registered for free.
Hmm.
Yeah, so it's, yeah, we know it's a drop. Drops of water.
No. That will go a long way. It's not a drop, Dr. Gbola, honestly, that's a long impact. It's going to be a strong one.
Yeah. So you know, so for we these do that. Yeah, people. And the fact that we partner with that hospital,
yeah,
is something sustainable. So it's not just we have a 1 day program and then everybody goes back to whatever they were doing. First, we know that would have changed their mindset, would have unlocked some things in their mind about the importance of seeking healthcare in pregnancy, because they're concerned. Every mother is concerned about the well-being of the baby that is growing inside her.
Yeah.
Then because we partner with the hospital, they could continue.
Mm.
And we found out that over the years, we've improved the number of women who then attend antenatal care, clinics.
Mm.
Yes, and that has helped in the areas where we've done this to at least reduce the rates, the mortality, maternal and child mortality in those areas.
Do you take these interventions, these programs around Lagos, or it's just one area that you have this?
Okay, so we started off doing it where we have the hospital. So we started in Ejigbo, where the hospital is. And as of last year, we started in Ila Samaja, Surulere Remushin area.
Mm-hmm.
And at different times, especially during the COVID, we partnered with a few friends and other companies, and we started taking these around Lagos.
Oh, because
so we're offering not just medical care and palliatives. And I would say that even for the programs we have, we actually even offer, at least they get a meal. a decent meal on that day. And like I'd say, when we have these programs, I tell them that it's not a disease to be pregnant. It's not a crime to be pregnant. And you find out that a lot, because a lot of women, a lot of people out there have myths about that. So they deprive a pregnant woman of a lot of things because they say, you're not supposed to take this, you're not supposed to take that. So we provide a program where we educate them, but we ensure that they have fun. Because you need to see our videos online and you see them dancing, see them exercises, and you even have people, a cultural troupe comes in and members of the organization also present. You know, we have healthcare nurses, doctors dancing and making presentations, like drama and all that. Just for them to, the whole idea is to see that, say, these healthcare personnel are human beings. They are not.
Don't be scared to come to the hospital. Don't be scared to talk to them.
You understand? So that's what we do, and we did that for Elasa 2 weeks ago.
And
we have one coming for Ejibo. Next week Saturday. Yes.
Next week
on the 2nd of September.
Beautiful. We'll talk more about that in a moment. So I'm big on NGOs who have dedicated their work to helping people, especially the less privileged. I'm very big on it. So when I was told, I said, look, I've got to have Ace Initiative on my show, you know, because what you do, if people don't know about it, those that need it, those that want it, those that are really looking out for these things, if they don't hear about it, we will not be doing, you know, what we're supposed to do, you know, as the media. So I said, look, we have to talk about it. The one coming, where is this happening?
Okay, yeah. So first, thank you for having us once again. We really appreciate this opportunity.
Right.
So the one coming...
Wait. Did you pay me? Just so we are clear.
No. No. And that's why we're very grateful. Yes, the one coming, like I said, is next week, Saturday, on the 2nd of September. Mm-hmm. So this is at Ejibo.
Okay.
Ejibo, that's in Oshodi Solo. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that at number 3 Mohammed Akije Street.
Okay.
Yeah, by Iyano Ejibo there. It's a popular bus stop. Yeah. Okay. So this is happening at Ceylon Medical Center.
Okay.
Like I said, we partner with them. Okay. So we do this, and the hospital also helps subsidize a lot of things.
Oh.
So that it's easier for us to even fund some of these things. Some things we just get for free from them.
From them?
Yes,
oh,
yeah.
Brilliant.
And there we're going to have, on that day, we're going to have doctors, we're going to have nurses that will be on ground.
Hmm.
Now, it's two parts. First is the medical outreach to both men, women, children.
Hmm.
Then the other part also focuses on the pregnant women.
Hmm. The men, women, children, what's that about?
Yeah, so they get free medical consultation and treatments for whatever ailments they have. Hmm. So they will be treated on that day. There'll be health talk, generally to everybody, because we feel health education is really key.
It's very
you understand?
Key.
Then
very
they key. Have one-on-one sessions with doctors where they explain whatever ailments.
Mm.
They are diagnosed. There are some general checks, laboratory investigations also to aid the diagnosis of the doctors, and there are drugs that will be provided for at least the most common, the major ailments available.
Yeah.
So that's for them. Then counseling, yes. Mm. Then for the pregnant women, like I said, we normally do. So every pregnant woman that comes on that day gets to be registered for antenatal clinic for free.
For free?
Yes. Every one of them gets free scan. Yes. And we have, and for the first 100 would get free mosquito nets and a 1 month supply of antenatal drugs.
For the first 100?
For the first 100. And one other thing we do is, we do like a sort of raffle.
Okay.
And so the raffle is a mix of raffle, and of course we speak and interact with people who really can afford.
Mm-hmm.
So we usually have 3 lucky winners who wins the prize of free delivery.
Mm.
So at the end of pregnancy, when they give birth to their child, the NGO actually takes care of the delivery fee.
Oh, nice. That's really interesting. Yeah. Let's take one or two calls before we bring in Kemi here. Kemi wants to tell us more about Ernest. 0700-993-993-993 and 01465-7190. For those who would like to ask Dr. Gwalang Yusuf some questions, please, if you're calling, turn off your radio. It's very important that you do that before you're calling. Very, very, very important. Good morning to you.
Hello, good morning.
Morning to you.
Yes, please, are you live?
Yes, we're live on the radio.
Oh, okay. I wanted to send an information to you on WhatsApp and for Sheriff Quadri or Mr. Disu.
Should I give you the WhatsApp number?
I have your WhatsApp number, and it's very important he has it before the 9 a.m. Program. I can send it immediately.
Yes, please send it now. What's your name? So I know what I'm looking out for.
Yeah, my name is Boson Ajayi from
Boson. All right, Mr. Boson. Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
I'll look out for your message. Thank you. Let's see who he's here. Good morning to you. that call has dropped. Let me see if I can get some messages before this next call here. Abby, should we take this next call? Okay, let's take it. Morning to you.
Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning to you, sir.
Yes, this antenatal issue.
Yes.
I want our host to talk on the role of all these religious houses. Mm. Like some churches and mosques, some of them are fond of delivering women of their babies. In the process, they mess up these women and eventually refer them to any available hospital where these women sometimes they die, or both the baby and the woman out of bleeding or complications. I've seen some hospitals where these things have happened one, two times. At the end of the day, the whole thing, some relations make a lot of noise about it. The doctor ends up saying that the woman was referred to him from one mosque or from one church. At the end of the day, everything dies down. So what are you... Because this thing is rampant, especially for people who don't have money. Mm-hmm. They feel that antenatal is expensive. Mm. So they want to deliver like the Hebrew woman. I would like our host to make a little comment on this.
All right, that's a well on. There you go.
Okay, yeah. So, it's not a very simple situation.
Yeah.
Because we also work with some other outlets, because one of the things we do is, apart from asking them to come to us via the program, one of the other things we do is also we go to where they go to and feel that they could do better than that, such that we create relationships with them. Sometimes we actually give a few L talks for them to be able to identify danger signs and early referrals. So that's one. But the other side to it is that you should also understand that when the desired is not available or not affordable, what's affordable becomes desired. So sometimes women go there not because they just want to go, because like he said, they feel the perception that it's more expensive, but my church has tried to bridge the gap by providing this healthcare. So when we talk about religion and healthcare, well, in my last 15 years of experience, it's changed and there's a lot of improvement.
Okay.
Because we find a lot of our health religious leaders understanding the importance of healthcare. I have religious leaders who are like personal clients.
Okay.
You understand, even their wife, their family, you understand. And you find out that such people, their congregation, they encourage them to also go to the hospital. There's a part of faith, you understand, there's a part where medical care is. And I think they can go hand in hand. But it's true. Yeah. You have cases where the referral comes, and that's why we started reaching out to them.
Yeah.
Like, if this person was referred early, we would have maybe done something better. Or if this person actually was attended to by a skilled attendant.
Yeah.
Yeah. And there's some other religious homes that what they have are standard hospitals. So we have to look at that. There are some religious homes that they actually have their own hospitals.
Yeah.
I don't want to start mentioning names here. Yeah. So there are some, and those ones are doing because they employ skilled hands, qualified doctors and nurses. But what he's talking about are those homes where they just get a nurse. Sometimes the nurse is not really qualified, not proper training. And because they know in the congregation or amongst their members, this person is identified as a healthcare profession, no certificate, no license, present, and the person, oh, please, ma or sir, you will be taking care of our pregnant mothers.
Doctor Bolao, let's begin to wrap up right now. So if anybody is coming for this outreach next week, what should they come with? How should they prepare for coming around?
Okay, yeah. We always tell them, just bring yourself.
That's it.
So they don't need to come with anything apart from whatever will make them comfortable for the program. It starts at 9 a.m. and we run that till 5 p.m.
Well, brilliant.
Yeah, so we have people within that period. They just bring themselves, and then especially for the pregnant women and as many people as the others, we provide food for them and water. We don't want to keep pregnant women for 1-2 hours without actually giving them some. So there's sumptuous meals.
Yeah,
rice and stew, very plenty.
Look, man, I've got to thank you and your team for doing amazing stuff, for contributing your own quarter. I have big love for people who do this. Thank you so much for what you
do. You're welcome,
Dr. Willow.
Yeah, thank you very much.
That's our show today, Lagos. I'm Sheriff. I'll see you tomorrow for Open Mic Friday. Many thanks to my team for making this happen as well. Bye for now.